Faith, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises. They shut the mouths of lions. By faith they quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, and they put foreign armies to flight. By what? By faith. We kill our Goliaths by faith. When David shows up in 1 Samuel 17 and where Goliath has been for 40 days taunting the armies of the living God, this giant of a man, this pagan warrior, this conqueror of people, this champion fighter of Philistine, this unclean Philistine, who taunts day after day after day. And when this shepherd boy shows up and sees this 9-foot, 9-inch problem, he shows up with faith. He believes in the promises of God. He believes God. And it's the faith that we come in the name of the Lord. It's the faith that we have in God, in who He is and what He's done and what He's promised to destroy the Goliaths of your life. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Because if you come to God, you must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. David showed up with faith, a faith that no one else had. Saul didn't have it. Saul's captains didn't have it. Saul's generals didn't have it. Matter of fact, the whole army, there is not one person in the whole army of Israel who had faith in this great God of theirs. They didn't have the faith. And matter of fact, because they didn't have the faith, they walked in fear. They walked in worry. They walked in anxiety. They walked in stress. They thought they were going to die. They thought their wives and their children would be plundered, that they would be given to the Philistines. And they were scared for 40 days. And yet here comes this shepherd boy, this man after God's heart, probably about 18, 19 years old. And as we've talked before, he was appalled by this. He was appalled by this unglory, this man who would dare taunt the little armies of the living God. Because when you taunt the armies of the living God, when you taunt the people of God, you taunt God Himself. Appalled by this, he sees the 9-foot, 9-inch problem that everybody sees as a problem. He sees something greater. He sees something bigger. He sees something that is absolutely, totally awesome. And what does he see? He sees through the lens of his great God and how great his God is. And when we look at this man that the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, that they put foreign armies to flight. They became mighty in war, in weakness made strong. They conquered kingdoms and performed acts of righteousness. That there's no doubt about it that the writer of Hebrews is looking back at this shepherd boy that's probably about 5'7", 5'8", to this 9-foot, 9-inch problem and says the way he did it was through his faith. He believed the promises of God. He believed that God was greater than the greatest problem that anybody could ever have in this life. The greatest circumstance, the greatest trouble, the greatest heartache. He knew that God was bigger than this. When we look at Goliath, we have talked about Goliath representing Satan and his demons, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers and powers and the world forces of this dark darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. We see Goliath as the sin problem, the bad habit that needs to go away. It's the sin problem in your life. John speaks of the three areas of sin in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. He says in 16, "For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, but it is from the world." Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. The scripture says that this world is passing away and those lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. And so when David shows up to face the 9-foot-9-inch giant, he shows up with a great faith in God. Because 1 John also says in 5:4 that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, watch, that has overcome the world, our faith. I want to ask the question as we close out this series this week and next week on killing your Goliath. Do you believe that God is greater than your greatest problem? Do you believe that God is greater than your greatest problem? It doesn't sound convincing to me. Do you believe that your greatest, that God is greater than your greatest problem? Yes. Do you believe that God is greater than your greatest failure? Yes. Yes. He's greater than your greatest failure. He's greater than the disturbed relationship that you might be going through, that hard relationship. He is greater. And this is what David believed. He believed that God was greater than what everybody else thought was too great to overcome, too great to conquer. God is greater than your addiction. He's greater than your guilt and greater than your shame. He is this great, awesome God that's greater. And that's what David believed. This is what we see in Hebrews. He believed that there is God, that he is great, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. And David, a man after God's heart, was a man that sought after God. He saw Goliath, and he was big, but he believed and he knew that God was bigger. He believed that God was greater. He believed that God was mightier and more glorious than any other God in this world, and any other representation of that God. We serve a God, great, great God. David believed in the power of God. David also believed in what God said about him. He believed, I'm going to say it like this, he believed in his anointing. He believed in his anointing. In chapter 16, he was anointed by the prophet. And the Bible says that when he was anointed by the prophet to be king, that something greater happened to him than becoming king one day. Something greater happened than the declaration, "Hey, 18-year-old boy, you'll be the next king." And you know what it was? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon him mightily from that day forward. And the Holy Spirit coming upon you and on me is greater than anything else that we could ever accomplish in this life. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit. Bible says it. He says it in the Acts when they're preaching. He says, listen, God chose to bless you by sending his Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus said that this is the great gift of God. And how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Listen, something greater than the king is here. It's the King of Kings. It's the Spirit of God on that boy king that will make him great, and it will fill him with faith. He believed in his anointing. And I want to ask the question, do you believe in your anointing? Because the Bible says this. Go to 1 John chapter 2, if you would. 1 John chapter 2. And this is such a powerful passage of Scripture, and sometimes we just skip over it because we don't understand that why is the Spirit of God given to us? And John is speaking about sin and the power of sin and what righteousness looks like. And just like we saw a moment, don't love the world, and we overcome the world by faith. But look at verse 20 and then verse 20. He says, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know, when you come to Christ, the Spirit of the living God comes into your life.
Listen, I know sometimes we say we accept Jesus into our heart, but the Bible says Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. It's the Spirit of Jesus that's in your life. It's the Holy Spirit of the living God that comes into your life when you believe the promises of God. When you believe and come to be born again by saying or speaking or confessing that He is my Lord, and I bow to His Lordship. It's when you believe in your heart that God sent Jesus and raised Him from the dead. It's when you confess, this is my God, this is my Lord. And I believe that what He did 2,000 years ago, He did for me 2,000 years later. And I'm putting my trust in this finished work of Calvary when He died in my place. And He died for me in my place. And I receive this free gift of salvation from God. And the Bible says you get born again. And it's the Spirit of God that comes into your life. We don't understand it. And if any of you in this place understands it, I want to be the first to receive counsel from you. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says that He's like the wind. He's like the wind. We don't know where it comes from and we don't know where it's going. And it's a mystery. And I want to tell you this. I like that. So that we don't put the Spirit of God in our little box. Because the Spirit of God wants to work in a very unique way in His people. Unique as you are unique. Unique as this church is unique. The Holy Spirit comes upon Him. The Bible says, which I believe he's talking about this Spirit of God, this anointing. When Samuel anointed David for king, the Bible says the Spirit of God came. And notice verse 26, these things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, this anointing which you received from Him, it abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and it's true and it's not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. The anointing of God, the Holy Spirit comes in to teach you how to abide in Jesus, how to live in Him. Jesus said it in John chapter 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen, the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It has to be connected to the vine. And He's talking about abiding in Him, living in Jesus, walking in Christ day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And the Bible says when you do that, you produce much, much, much fruit. And this anointing teaches you. It teaches you how to do that. It teaches you how to abide in that. Listen, I can get on a blackboard. I can get a whiteboard and a grease board or whatever you call it now. Okay? And I can give you some pointers and to say, hey, do this, and do that. But listen, it doesn't mean anything unless the Spirit of God is teaching you. Nothing. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. Listen, we just plant and we just water. It's God who causes the increase in your life. I, as your pastor, cannot cause increase in your life. It's the Spirit of God that teaches you. And the Bible, what I love about what He says here in this passage is you all know this. You all know it. And you might say, well, I'm just too young in Christ to know it. No, you're not. No, you're not. You know, I know that maybe a baby doesn't understand it all, but a baby knows when he's hungry, right? Baby knows when his diaper's soiled, right? Baby. I mean, he might not be able to articulate that, and he might not understand that, but there's something he knows about hunger. And he yells out for it. He screams out for it. Feed me. Change me. Feed me. Change me. Hold me. I mean, these are the things just innate. And there's something innate in the Spirit of the living God when He abides in you that teaches you to say, I'm hungry, God. Hey, God, come change me. Oh, God, come hold me. Every one of us has it. It's the anointing that teaches you. You know, it's interesting in life. There's just some things that God, that you know what you need to do to get what you need to do to finish what you need to get to finish. Is that right? I don't know if I understood myself on that one. But I'm just telling you, there's just things you know you need to do. Husbands, there's just things you know you have to do and know what to do to see your marriage become what God wants it to become. I mean, there's just some things I know what to do when I'm kind of drifting in my faith or drifting in my relationship with the Lord. I know how to get back to Him. I know what to do. And every one of us who's in Christ, however age you are, yeah, there's some training. Yeah, there's some equipping. Yeah, there's some challenging. Yeah, there's some growing up. Please hear what I'm saying. There are these gifts that God gives the church as pastors and teachers and evangelists to teach you to do the work of the ministry. And you need that to teach you. But let me tell you what you need to teach you to abide in Jesus. You need the anointing. You need the Holy Spirit of the living God. Will you acknowledge that today and believe it? Because I believe with all my heart that that's what he believed. Listen, when David gets to that valley of that giant and picks up those five stones just in case there's four more giants to kill, he picks those up in that valley knowing that God is God and he's Lord and he's great. But he also believes in his anointing. He believes that the Spirit of God that's come upon his life, he's a man of faith. And that's what Hebrews is saying. This is what 1 John is saying in chapter 5. We overcome him because we believe. He believed. And I want to ask you the question, do you believe that God is bigger than the 9-foot-9 problem in your life? Will you believe that when he shows up again? Will you believe that in your anointing that God will teach you? And the third thing that David believed, he believed in his triumph over Goliath. He believed that he, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Goliath would die, that Goliath would fall. He knew that he would be victorious. He knew it because he believed it. He knew it because he heard God's word over him. And it's the only way that you'll ever have faith is by the word of God. Because the word of God says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. How do we know that David believed? Because his faith came out of his mouth. We know he believed because he spoke what he believed. He spoke it. You know, I've often told the story of my own deliverance from this spirit of fear that I had on my life since I was 10 years old until I was 27. And I'm going to go into it because so many of you might have heard it a whole bunch, but I just want to tell you something that was very key to me, for me, when the word came to my mind and heart and I embraced it with faith. The guy that I wanted to meet that I saw on TV one day in early February, I said it. I said it out loud. I spoke it. I need to meet this guy. I need to meet him. And within 3 weeks, I was sitting down with him through a series of events that were just miraculous. But I was sitting down with him and we were having lunch. And he asked me, this is what he asked me, he said, what's going on? And I said, well, I've got this fear of dying young, and I've had it since I was 10 years old. And he looked at me, and he pointed at me, and he says, you can be free from that. And when he said that, something leaped in my heart that not only just received it, but I believed it. I believed in that moment. Don't ask me how. I didn't conjure it up. I didn't try to make it work. I didn't try to strain at faith. It just, something happened in me. This spirit of faith came over me, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I would be free. And I tell you this, I walk out of the hotel room because we go up from the restaurant, we go up into to the 10th or 12th floor in an elevator. Just kidding. You get that. If you're new to us, listen to some tapes, because I hate elevators. And we get up, and we go to this room, and we sit down, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe with everything that I am, that God is up to something. Matter of fact, I really believed at that lunch table that it was done, it was finished, it was complete, because my faith embraced this rhema to me, this word to me, that you can be free, that you will be free. And I heard it. I heard God say it, and I just believed in it. I believed that the Spirit of God was speaking to me. I didn't believe that God brought me to this table through some miraculous ways over the last 3-4 weeks in the cold of winter with just just the sinus infection that I feel like I'm dying. And I want to tell you this. I want to tell you that he walks me through deliverance. I go through deliverance. God sets me free. And I walk out, but I still got the sinus infection. I still got the affliction. And I feel like I'm dying, but I'm not dying. I'm living because I believe. I believe it. And I spoke it. I said it. I said, God, you have set me free. And I knew beyond a shadow of doubt when I walked out that God set me free. Since I was 10, 17 years, something that had increased in my life as I got older, as I got closer to 30, thinking that I would be dead by 30. Something spoken to me over me by someone who didn't know what she was doing. Now, matter of fact, it's interesting. I stick my palm out. This lady's pretending to read palms. She tells me, your lifeline's short. You're going to die young, 10 years old. And just let me tell you how the enemy works. I'm probably in my 40s at this time, enjoying this freedom. And I go into a Barnes & Noble, and I see a Psychology Today book, and it's got the lines on the hands. And I opened it up, and she pointed to the wrong life. The power, I'm telling you, the power of word. The power of confession that we're going to talk about here. The power of saying it in a negative way and a positive way. This woman looked at my hand and pointed at a line that, according to her little tradition, wasn't the right line. And she said, that's your lifeline. And a number of years later, I'm in that bookstore saying, she pointed at the wrong line. I was fearful over the wrong line. But I want to tell you, whatever line she might have pointed at, it was the wrong line. Because we don't live like that. We don't live by that. We don't live by those kinds of philosophies. We live by the Word of God. And we live by faith. When David shows up, he shows up and these words are spoken over him. You can't do this. You're too young. He's a champion from his youth. You're but a youth. You don't have the equipment. You don't have the warfare. You don't have anything that is would in our eyes see that you would defeat this guy. You can't do it. Big brother Eliab, what are you doing here? You're just coming to make sport of us. And you know, that's what we get. We get from the world. We get from the enemy. You'll never be free of that. You'll never be free of that fear. You'll never be free of that addiction. You'll never, ever, ever be free of it. And I want to say this, church, you've got to dispute the negative words of the enemy. You got to dispute it. You got to say, it's not true. No, and that's what he says. What he does is he speaks his faith. He speaks what he believes. You know, there's this great verse on the screen, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Watch what he says. He says, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. And we also believe, therefore we also speak. Let me just say this. If you believe, you can't help but speaking. It is just the natural occurrence of things. God does this work in your heart and your language begins to change. And I'm going to tell you, it's a language of faith. It's not a language of unbelief. It's a language of hope, not despair. It's a language that defines you and it describes who you are and who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. This faith comes and we speak it. We speak it. And that's what he's doing to these folks. Listen, I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill this guy. Because somebody's gotta kill him, and I'm the one that's gonna kill him today. I want you to notice these confessions, and I wanted to tell you that I wanted to name this this sermon "Confessions of a Serial Goliath Killer." But these are confessions after a man after God's own heart, and a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart, can look back and see a string of Goliath
who had fallen in their lives. Whether it was anger or unforgiveness, or whether it was worry and fear, or whether it was guilt or shame, or whether it was just some things that happened in your youth or in your childhood that has defined you, those Goliaths fall. Why? Because we're seeking after the heart of God, and that's who David is. We're seeking after who he is. We're seeking after the things of God and what God wants to do. And so this is a confession of the confessions, the affirmations of a giant killer, a Goliath killer. And I want you to look in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to move, I promise you, quickly through this. Notice a couple of these confessions that he makes. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. And while you're turning there, if you're new to us, you can go online. You can go to the Facebook page, Cottonwood Life. There will be a snippet of this sermon here by probably Tuesday night. And you can get online and you can press that a link, and it'll take you to the sermon, and it also take you to the, this is the 15th sermon on spiritual warfare, and the 5th on killing Goliath. And so you can do that, and you can, if you like it, press like, share it with somebody, because I want to tell you, there's power in confession. There's power in the tongue. Do you believe there's power in the tongue? A lot of you have been shaped by the power of the tongue. You've been shaped by what people have said. You might have had a dad or a mom that said awful things to your life and you were shaped by it. Or you might have a mom and dad that said great things and you were shaped by it. James tells you that the tongue is powerful. It's like a spark that sets everything on fire. And by the way, that's not either negative or positive. It can be positive or negative. Because I want to tell you, what I speak can start a spark so great that it's a burning passion for the glory of God. Or it's a spark that can do something great damage to your kids or to you or to the people you speak over. There's power in the tongue. He says, listen, the tongue is small. It's tiny. It's a tiny piece of the body, but it boasts of great things. It can do great things. It's like the rudder on a ship, a big old ship that just charts the course for it. And I don't know if you see, when you look at James and you look at that passage of Scripture, how you see the power of what you say. What you say is important. What you say, what is in your heart? What you say is what's in your heart. You remember when Jesus said, it's not what goes in you that defiles you, it's what comes out that defiles you. And I think it can be said that what goes into my life, yeah, there's some things that are really powerful, but they're really powerful in God when they come out in a good way. And so what David does is he speaks what he believes. Look at verse 32. Actually 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for them. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant, me, that's me, I'm going to go out and fight with this Philistine. I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight him. Now, you know what's interesting is that we live our lives oftentimes in between fear, worry, and anxiety, and faith and confidence. Is that right? If that's you, can you just raise your hand? And the rest of you are lying. Okay. Unless you really got it together. But we live in that kind of flux where we fret and worry and have anxiety and stress over these things that are happening around us, and they become big and they become Goliaths. And then there's those times that we just know that we've got this authority in Christ and that we can move through this and that we can whip whatever is before us. And some of you have been there, and some of you are learning to be there, and some of us, hopefully all of us, are learning to be there. But I want to say what he said here. He said, listen, quit fearing. You've been walking in 40 days of fear. Stop it. Just stop the fear. Let no man's heart fail because of him. And I want to say this. That's all you need to hear. That's all you need to hear. You need to hear God say, quit walking in fear over that. Quit worrying about it. Quit walking in anxiety about it. Quit walking in worry over your future. Quit worrying and being anxious over your past. Listen, you've got to lay it down. Let no man's heart fail.
no love. You know what happens when your heart fails? You go into panic mode, and everybody around you catches it and starts walking with you in panic. You seen that happen with your kids? Something's happening, and you go panic, and they panic. But then when you say, hey, it's okay. It's going to be all right. Hey, God's going to get us through. We don't have anything to fear. What happens? They believe you because you spoke the word. And that's the kind of power you have. Let no man's heart fear, fail on his account of him. Let me tell you a couple of confessions. Do we have those on the screen? Yeah, these are some confessions, and you don't have to repeat them. You don't have to stand up to repeat them. But if you want to repeat them because they're powerful. Watch this. Just say it with me. I will not walk in agreement with fear, worry, and anxiety. I will not be paralyzed by fear. I will abide in Jesus. My heart will not fail on account of this threat, this failure, this affliction, this hard season. Stay with me, come on, stay with me. This difficult relationship, this financial burden, this uncertain diagnosis. My heart will not fail on account of you, Goliath, on him, Saul. Let not our heart fail. Let us put our trust and our confidence in the Word of God. This God who is great, this God who anointed, and God who guarantees the triumph, guarantees the victory. Amen? That's what he believed. That's what he spoke. Why? Because God's greater than these things. They are big, no doubt about it, but God is bigger. God, they're great, but God is greater than this. And sometimes you just got to say it. Sometimes you just got to confess it. Hey, you're big, but my God's bigger. And my God lives in me with this anointing. You're big anger, you're big fear, you're big whatever, but my God is bigger. Amen? Say that to your neighbor. My God is bigger. Amen? Bigger. It's greater. Let me tell you another confession. Look at verse 37, okay, or the context of 37. So in 37, he's responding to Saul, who says, hey, verse 33, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth. He's been a warrior from his youth. And David said to Saul, listen, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came out. It took a lamb from the flock. And I went after him. Why? Let me say this real quick. Let me just kind of chase a little rabbit here. That lion, that lamb came. That lion, that bear came and took a lamb. And I went after it. Why? Because the lamb is worth it. The lamb is worth it. I'm going to say this. You're worth it. You may be a lamb, or you may be a stubborn ewe, or a bully ram. Okay? You see that in Scripture. It's not my word. But a lion and a lamb comes upon you, and our great shepherd Jesus says, it's worth it. I'll leave the 99, and I'll go rescue the one, because the lamb is worth it. It's worth it. You know, some of you are ranchers. Some of you are you raise cattle. You raise sheep. You raise deer. And when you have these babies on the ground, everyone counts. Is that right, Richard? Is that right, Stuart? They all count. And is that right, brother? Calf seller? Right. They all count. They do. And what they do, what these guys do, they'll do everything they can to give their attention to the one that is in the jaws of the coyote or the jaws of the wolf or the bobcat or the panther or in the jaws of disease. And we'll hand milk those babies if their mamas have died. Why? Because one is worth it. And you're the one that was worth it. that God would come and take you from the jaws of addiction, the jaws of heartache, the jaws of shame, the jaws of guilt, all those jaws. You were worth it. And that's what he says. He says, listen, I went after that bear and I went after that lion and I seized it by its beard and I killed it. I did that. I didn't run. I didn't think, oh, that lamb's not worth it. That lamb's not worth my time, not worth my the danger it puts me in. No, I went after it and I killed it. I went after him. Now watch, 36. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this unclean Philistine will be like one of them since he has taunted the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will do it again. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. This is a confession. This is a confession of faith. My God is stronger. Now, I want you to look on the screen again, and I want you to see some other confessions here. And I want you to repeat after me. God is my Savior and deliverer. Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. The Spirit of God is my guide. He has delivered me before. He will deliver me again. He delivers me from sin, fear, and worry. Stress, guilt, and shame. He delivers me from all my hurts. All my wounds. He delivers me from this threat. Let's go where we stay with me, okay? This failure, there you go. This affliction, this hard season, this difficult relationship, this financial burden, this uncertain diagnosis. Why? Because he's greater than the problem. The problem's great, but our God is greater. Look at verse 45. Here's another confession. David says to the Philistine, after the Philistine said to him, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursing David by his gods. And this Goliath also says to David, come to me, I'm going to give you your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beast of the field. Now listen, if Goliath is 9'9", he probably grows to about 10'5", because he's going to say it loud and he's going to say it like a bully. He's going to say it to intimidate. He's going to say it to scare you. He's going to say it because maybe he might be a little afraid. And he's got to say it loud to convince himself. Have you ever done that before? Yelled at something because you were scared of it? I don't know why I remember this right now, because I didn't plan on telling you about it. But I don't like mice. The elevators, put a mouse in an elevator and I'm really scared. It's the boo box, if you know what I mean. And I had an aunt who didn't like them either. She's about 3 years older than me. I'm going to get to see her here at the end of the month. And they had rats in this storage room that she had to go in. And she would tell me, she said, you know what I got to do? I got to go say, okay, you rats, I'm coming in there now. To get a little brave. Maybe this is what Goliath's doing. Puffing up. Looking bigger. Looking meaner. Looking greater. Because you know what? Let me tell you something. This roaring lion called the enemy, this enemy called the roaring lion is nothing but somebody, some lion that's been declawed and defanged who can't touch God's anointed. Will you believe that? And I just say, you know, he says this Goliath says, listen, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you. And he says it loud. He says it intimidating. And yet David makes this confession. He speaks his faith. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've taunted. This day the Lord will deliver me into your hand. I'll strike you down, remove your head from you. I'll give the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistine this day to the birds of the sky, the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you said something like that to your fear, to your sinful problem, to your bitterness and to your anger, to your doubt and unbelief? When is the last time you spoke faith to it? Something like this. Look at these confessions. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Say it. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me to deliver me. I am sent, commissioned, tasked by Christ. I represent my God in every single way. I'm empowered with confidence in Christ. I'm assured the power of God to accomplish this task. The weapons of my warfare are mighty in God. They tear down strongholds. They cast down imaginations. They cast down every thought right now, right here, that exalts itself against God and His Word. And I bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I always triumph in the name of the Lord. Do you believe that today? When is the last time you said this to your Goliath? Because you're going to kill your Goliath in the name of the Lord, like we saw last week, and you're going to kill him by your faith. You've got to speak it. You've got to confess it. There's a power in confession. I'm not talking about name it, claim it, grab it, blab it, grab it. I'm talking about seeing what the Word says and believing it and speaking it. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about something that feeds your flesh. I'm talking about something that builds your spirit, your soul, and your mind and your heart. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about asking God for stuff so that you can spend it on your own pleasures. I'm talking about asking God for things in faith and speaking it, that God comes along to take care so that you can glorify God better this year than you did last year. And these are the confessions that we make. These are the things that we say. We believe. Bible said, listen, with the mouth we confess, resulting in salvation. Amen? Not just when you came to Jesus, but as you're moving toward Him in a greater way, in a greater power, in a greater ability. You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hand. I'll strike you down, remove your head, because the battle is the Lord's, and He'll give you into our hands. Let me give you some more, and we'll finish with this. Repeat after me. It's not my fight. It's God's fight. My struggle's not with flesh and blood. This battle belongs to God. Hey, Goliath, no more. You must go. You will go. I'll not walk in agreement with you anymore. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. Why y'all got quiet? Jesus Christ is Lord over my life. Oh, my circumstances, my past, my future, my present. You go lower because I go lower. Right? Is that what's happening? And you speak higher because I speak higher, right? Is that what you're doing? Jesus is on His throne interceding for us. The Spirit of God is in my life, praying for me with groanings too deep for words, according to the will of God. Satan will soon be crushed under our feet. You are finished. I am done. You must fall. You will fall. I want you to bow with me in prayer. David believed, and we know he believed because he spoke it. Let me tell you one final thing that he did. He believed it, he spoke it, and then he did it. He did it. He conquered Goliath. And 2,000 years ago at the cross, he conquered your Goliath 2,000 years ago. It was done. It was finished. It was completed. And now you and I, though we face so many forms or fashions in so many ways, we get to get in on that victory. We get to get in on that victory and watch Goliath fall. Do you believe? Do you believe that God is greater than your problem? Do you believe in your anointing? That this anointing will teach you. It'll teach you how to abide in Jesus. And in your abiding in Him, this Goliath falls. Do you believe in the triumph, in the victory of your Goliath? We'll end where we started last week. What is your Goliath? Church, will you believe in this great God who's bigger than that? Lord, I pray for the spirit of faith that says we believe and therefore we speak. And because we believe and therefore we speak, we also do. We walk from this place confident that Goliath will fall, that Goliath will die, that Goliath will be no more in my life. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, stand with me. Would you do that? There's a guy here from Jacksonville, Florida, who was here 20 years ago going to church with us, Roger Delaney. And Roger, it's good to have you back today. It really, really is. Got to talk to you a few months ago on the phone after a lot of years, and it's just really good to see you, brother. Pray for Florida today, right? Pray for Florida today. Hey, lift a hand, lift two, whatever suits you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord give you peace forever and ever. And may that forever and ever begin right now, right here. The peace of God be upon you. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, come see me, especially if you're here the first or second time, okay? Come see me.